Okay. All right. So.
I'm going to mute myself to last minute because
okay. Beirach al Peres Ilan. So we're in Perkhes.
Where are you?
Perkhes alacha yud of Brachos.
Okay.
Beirach al Peres Ilan. So he says, if he says a bracha on Peres Ilan, Bar Pri Adama, which is Bar Pri Adama on Peres Ilan, Yatza. He has accomplished his, I forgot Tess. Tess.
I was going to say, I don't remember doing Tess with you. Maybe you did it and I was gone.
No. Totally mistake. Tess. Shmarim shnasan alem shlosha. So if he put three measures of water on the grapes, Votzi Arba, and it produced four measures of liquid coming out of them. In other words, the raisins or whatever this it's a grape, it's this form of the grape. So when you put in the water, it exudes the juice. So, mevarach lahem bar pri agafen. So you see that because the grapes added, because all you put in there was three, so at the very minimum, they added a measure. So, shizei yain mazuku. So the you say bar pri agafen because this is diluted wine. Hotzi pachos mi arba. If it produced less than four, afal pi sheyesh ben tam yain, even though they have the flavor of wine, mevarech alein tchila shako. That you say shako, because it is flavored water. It's not diluted wine. So the maximum dilution is 1 to 3. So if you put in three portions of water and one of the wine. So sometimes you got grape juice that is pretty thick. So you got to watch that. Now, of course, a little bit difficult in our day to know how to do that. Because
what do you mean it's pretty thick?
So the grape, like Kedem grape juice, it's got concentrate. It's not just straight grape juice. It's got concentrate in there. So theoretically, you could put in more than three, because it's more concentrated even than.
So the way Kedem makes grape juice is they make grape juice concentrate and they have straight grape juice and they mix the two of those together along with water and they sell that as grape juice?
Yeah, because people like it sweeter and more intense flavor. Hold on one second, Mendel. My wife is calling me, so let me just put myself on mute for a second and I will... Okay, I'm back. So, can you hear me, Mendel?
Yeah.
Okay. So, because people like the intense grape flavor. So, I'm not sure exactly what you would do with that. And the reverse is true by wines, because those are diluted already. So, I'm not sure exactly how you would apply, how exactly you would apply this. But in principle, it's 1 to 3. So that becomes a shackle because it loses its identity as a wine, and it becomes a water with wine flavoring. Water with wine flavoring is not wine; it's a water. So therefore, you say shackle. Okay. Beirach al perasei ilan bari priha dama yud. If you said a bracha of bari priha dama on the peris of the tree, yatsa, it's you've fulfilled your obligation. It's not proper, but you fulfilled your obligation, right? So why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Why have you fulfilled your? So let's just conceptualize that for a second. So what are you saying is the what a bracha? What's the minimum measure of a bracha?
Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam.
No. No. Because as you were going, okay, let me continue on to the next one. You'll see that there's more to it than that. Val Paris Aretz Ber Priyaitz. If you said Paris Aretz, you said Ber Priyaitz and the Paris Aretz, Lo Yatza, then you've not been Yatza. So, but that certainly has Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam in it. It's just that it has at the end Bari Priyates rather than Bari Priya Dhamma. So just to make it concrete, you're eating a piece of corn, which does not come from a tree, and you're not thinking, you're ignorant, you don't know what it is. Let's say you're eating a banana. A lot of people think a banana comes from a banana tree, which is what we call it. But luckily, a banana tree doesn't meet the criterion of a tree because it's an annual. Even though structurally it looks like a tree, it's an annual. So the correct bracha for banana is Bari Priya Dhamma. The person doesn't know that. It says a Bari Priya. Okay. So he's not Yotze. Person next to him knows the reality, tells him, that's not the right bracha. You got to say a bracha over. So he says to say a Bari Priya Dhamma on it. Good, Mendel.
They're not good. It's okay.
So there's more to it than just Baruch Hashem Kamech Olam. You see, that's necessary but not sufficient. So let's add a little bit more. So what is there in addition to Baruch Hashem Kamech Olam?
Nothing.
Well, there is. There's the Borei, the Borei. So he's got to be a beret, this, that, or the other thing, or the shehakol niabdavaro. So there's two options, right? In other words, there's something by which the particular object of mana is linked to Hashem as the creator.
Either yeah, that's beret is implicit in Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam.
It is.
How would it not be?
True. But it's insufficient because one has to specify the particular. So that is still at the level of the generic. But the bracha isn't just identifying a reality that he is the creator of everything, but rather it's an identification of the particular object as being an instance. It's about identifying the particular. It's not about stating the universal.
Okay.
As we saw before, namely that if you lose the particular object that you are, because you have to identify a particular and transform that particular, removing it from being in conceptualizing it, reframing the object, like as Rambam calls it, tikkun inyani, namely changing the object as an object of my perception. From my fantasy projection upon it as being that which is a reflection of my entitlement and pleasure to a created object with a purpose intrinsic to itself, namely sustaining man. A created object for sustaining man.
How does Shakoni a bit viral like that? There's no recognition of Bore there.
I'll come to that in a second, right? So, but most of them, the one class, most of the class, is about pre, so those get a beret. So, but it's not enough to identify. One must identify the particular. So, how does one particularize the particular? One particularizes the particular by identifying the specific aritzaic mechanism by which its Bria occurs, by which its creation occurs. So there's the Priya, there's the Motzi Lechem, there's the Priya Geffen, there's the Priya Eitz.
Motzi Lechem doesn't have Pri either.
Right, because it isn't a Pri. It's a Lechem. But the it connects it back to the Aretz, Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz. Namely, it identifies a creative process by which which is unique and singular to the object at hand. So Lechem, in other words, when it said something specific and essential and distinctly unique about Lechem, namely, he's not just the creator of all things, he's the creator of this particular thing, and as defined as Lechem. He, the universal creator, has created this particular object of Anah, namely the Lechem. You see?
What does Hamotzi mean?
Who brings forth. Yatsa, motzi. It's the same root as yotze in mitzvah. Motzi.
So you're trying to say that that's the same thing as pri?
It's not the same thing, but it shares a characteristic, namely that the particular creation is identified as being created by the creator. Namely, the purpose of the bracha is not just to identify that Hashem is the creator of everything, except in the last one, in the Shakol Nebdevaro. But in all the other ones, it's to take it one step further and to identify the particular kind of thing that this creation is, which is uniquely by virtue of being a specific kind of creation, having a unique kind of place of creation in the Aretz by its specified mechanism. So the Lechem is unique in having its own process of being brought from the ground. The pre-Geffen has its unique mechanism by which wine comes from the earth, from the vine, I should say. The fruit of the tree has its unique mechanism by which it is a fruit from the tree. And the fruit of the ground has the unique mechanism by which it is fruit from the ground. So in each and every case, one moves beyond the praise, beyond the recognition of Hashem as a general creator, to specifying the particular mechanism of creation characterized that is manifest and clear in this particular object.
Okay.
Right. But as you can see from this, it's not a requirement. It's not, it's a requirement, but it's still a bracha if you don't do it. As long as what you're saying is true, as long as you identify the particular thing truly. So when you say a brei pri ha'adama on the fruit of the tree, you have generically identified it. You've identified it through its generic mechanism rather than its specific mechanism, which is okay, right? You have not said the praise you could say. You have not identified it as specifically as one could have, and that's a lack. But one has still recognized the particular, one has still truthfully connected the particular to its generic, identified the particular as part of a generic class, and therefore, it's a bracha. Okay?
Okay.
Now, going to the extreme, ve'ala kol im birech shakol niyab dvaro, if one says shakol niyab dvaro or nehiyeh bidvaro, as the Vilna Gaon wants to say, he would have punctuated this differently. It's hard to tell what the Rambam would have said because the Mishnah Torah isn't punctuated. This is the Timanim putting it this way. The Vilna Gaon would have said it should be with the Tzere, Nehye, Nehye. We'll talk
about that. I understand why Ha'et does not fulfill the obligation, but Hadama does.
So, because it has to be truthful. So if you identify a particular by its genus, You've correctly identified it. You just happened to identify it as particularly as you could. So you call a dog an animal. That's true. It's just not as specific as calling it a dog. But if you call a dog a fish, you have miscategorized it. You have not.
Dumbo means everything from the ground, and that eats means everything from the tree.
That's right. So if you take something which has nothing to do with the tree and say Bray-Pray-Ates, you have miscategorized it. You've said falsehood. If you say Bray-Pray-Ates on the fruit of the tree, you have not said falsehood. You've simply identified something by a generic category rather than a specific category. It is a
pretty. So you can just say shahakol and everything anyway.
And if you say shahakol by same concept, you've also been yotze, but because you've said something by the most generic category of all, right? You've identified it as one of the things which Hashem created.
So Mendel, if you made
which doesn't have bori in it anyway.
True. But it has the concept of it distinguishes between Hashem, who is a king of the universe, right, and therefore is the source of unchanging processes as well, right, versus one who is the source of motion, of processes of change.
So why wouldn't Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam actually be the thing?
Because one hasn't specified a class of things which owe their existence to him in a particular way. Namely, Bidvaro. One hasn't identified the specific act of act and process, rather than one. There's Melech HaOlam says that all things owe their existence to him. Let's say an angel as well, an unchanging object.
Rabbi Sachs. Rabbi Sachs.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So Mendel, just maybe to clarify, to make a boy free at eighth on a potato is false. That's not true. It's not a fruit of the tree. Conversely, I say Bray Pri Dhamma on a peach. It is true. It is a fruit of the earth. It does come from the earth, so it's a true statement. So just as long as it's true, it could be generic, it could be general, it's still fine. I heard from Herschel Schechter that this rule of Shahakol covers everything also applies by saying the bracha Borei Minei Mazonos, because it's also a Mazon. Right? Anything which is except for melech and mayim. Ray, me name is Zonot. He created a variety of
foods. True statement. The Rambam doesn't say that, though.
I know. The Rambam does not say that, but he, I guess the Mishnah brings it down to Mishnah Berurah or whatever other Rishonim.
I would think that the Rambam would disagree with that.
Well, why do you say that?
But before I go
into that, he doesn't say that.
I'll say why in a second. First, there's another aspect of Mendel's question that I don't know if you heard.
Which is?
Namely, why does one, what is it added to the formula, the bracha formula by Shehakol Miyad Baro that one hasn't already said in Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? Because to say it, Melech HaOlam, to identify Hashem as the sovereign, this, you know, is to identify all things as is to identify that all things occur to turn to his governance. Otherwise, he's not.
That's a question,
right?
That's a question. Yeah.
Right.
So, but by saying Bidvaro, you're Shakol Yah Bidvaro.
See, or the
now, can you seem to be the point being is that you're still not relating this the created entity, the Nimsa, to the source of all Nimsayim explicitly. Shabbat is praising God. He's God who created the universe. Everything came through his word. And I guess you're, and since you're holding the object, you're you're indicating this is a result of his work, command onto existence as you come into being.
Right.
So shevach, it wouldn't be a shevach. It's too generic. Or just saying well, what he, then just say Hashem. They were, then why don't you say this? Why don't you say, you give up, okay.
It's his word. It's his word that is being added, right?
Yeah.
Or the specifics of his
command that brought this into being.
So I was suggesting that is to differentiate. Well, let me take that back. I'll suggest a different possibility, namely that Nihye Bidvaro takes us back to Bereishis. Hashem said, "Let there be light." There was light. He said there should be this. Then it came to be, right? Mendel?
No, I didn't realize you were talking to me. Yeah.
Right? So in other words, what that points to is that beyond the fact, there's two things. One is recognizing that nothing, you know, the Yesod Yesodos, that nothing could exist without him, right?
Okay.
But then there's something else. Yeah. Namely, the specific frameworks of causality by which any given object comes into existence. So, the specific principles by which physics comes into existence, or chemistry, or biology. In other words, there's the generic principle that all things require the Big Bang. Without the Big Bang, there'd be nothing, right? No energy whatsoever. But the mere fact that in a general way identify that all things require energy, and therefore all things owe their existence to Hashem as the source of the Big Bang, is different than being able to specify DNA, you know? Because when I specify DNA, I show awareness that there are special principles by which a particular kind of object within the energy field comes into its specific pattern, as opposed to a chemical bond, as opposed to a planet, right? So that's Dvaro. That's his word. Because as we see from Bereishis, Dvaro differentiates the different types of systems of material objects. Let every grass come into being, let every animal come into being. In other words, the differentiating factor by which different systems arise out of the material given is called Dvaro. So in my bracha, I don't want to just recognize that I know that the entire universe comes into being governed by an order that owes its existence to him. I want to identify that I realize that expresses itself by subsystems, each of which having its own principles, which I identify as being Dvaro. Animal biology having its principles of DNA, vegetables having their principles of DNA, planets having their chemicals having their material bonds, their chemical bonds. There's each subgrouping having its own sub principles by which its material order arises. And that's what I'm calling Dvaro.
What did you just add? I was saying by Dvaro, it's suggesting a particularization of the general koach ha-nimsa'os that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings everything into being. And also by virtue of the fact that you have an object in front of you, you have a glass of soda, and you say, Shakol Nye Dvaro, it's implicit in the declaration that this is a consequence of his Dvar. I said, no.
Right, no, I'm just looking at
this. It would not be true. It's akin to saying Hashem.
Right.
It wouldn't relate to the particular, and it wouldn't be a shevach. It wouldn't be a shevach It wouldn't be a shevach that matures this object into a.
Maybe that's what you were pointing to. I was just showing the roots in the way Rambam understands the first chapter of Bereishis, namely that there's one thing, the Yesod Yesodos, that he is, in general, nothing could exist without him.
Right.
And there's something else, that through his, without a hand, without an arm, he maintains the material order of every subsystem.
Okay.
So that second thing, namely without material, without arm, he creates his causality maintains all subsystems. That in the Chumash seems to be called Dvaro. He's Vayomer Hashem this, Vayomer Hashem this. You know, it's referred to as the metaphor is his speech. That's what I was suggesting. I mean, probably that's what you were referring to. Okay.
Okay.
Right, Breslau?
Yeah.
Good. So I'm just going to quickly.
I don't really understand what you said by the Shemarim, by the way. I don't really understand.
What?
You didn't spend that much time. You went over the Shemarim, adding
too
water
fast?
To that.
So it seems, in other words, there has to be a certain amount of ratio of wine to water. In other words, how do you differentiate?
Well, Shemarim is not wine.
Well, it's what, raisins or
no, we call Shemarim. Mishka Samich Shayin, or you have the wine sediments that you're going to
put
in water.
The wine sediments. So the wine sediments include within them moisture, which is defined as wine.
Right. So you're going to add into it.
So if you add water to it, you can have a mixture of wine, which is coming from which you're washing out from the sediment, versus water, which is what you're putting in. Right?
So you're putting in shlosha waters,
so
right?
If you put in three measures of water,
and you get another 25%.
So you wash out a certain amount of liquid from the sediment. So you have to have a certain ratio of wine to water. And that minimum what ratio is that the sediment contributed one part, 25% to the ultimate mixture, or one out of three in the mixing process. So the end product, if the end product is four, then you know that the Shemarim added one measure because you put in
any rationale about the. Why
it's 1 to 3 rather than anything else?
More watery.
Oh, that's interesting. Why that measure? Why 1 to 3? It's hard to tell, because I don't know.
It's funny. Now it's interesting by Yayin Nesach, if you have 1 to 6, it's considered buckle. 1 to 6.
Well, but that.
Because that's a different.
That's a separate question.
That's a separate thing of nursing.
That's
time.
A separate question. By that case, you're not allowed to get hana'a even from the yayin nesach, even if it's a contributing.
Yeah, but it's not like shishim though. Normally it's shishim.
Right. Right.
It's 1 to 6.
That's right. So that's a different question. Why is it not shishim by yayin nesach?
Right. That's okay.
But why it's not four, I understand. Because it's similar to shishim. Namely, you have to remove it even as a reasonable mixture. But why then not shishim? That'd be an interesting question. Why not shishim?
No, but I think the one thing to say is because yayin, like part of wine is sort of the balance of yayin. Once it's become 1 to 6, the shame yayin is no longer on it anymore.
It's unique. It's a unique property of the flavor of wine. So they formulated its own little process. That makes sense too.
Otherwise,
it has its own singular.
Not a material.
Product. It's not a universal bittel. It has its own measure of what constitutes bittel. That makes sense too, because it's a unique object. That makes
so
sense.
You're saying like this: if I have 3 parts water and 1 part yayin concentrate, yayin residue, wine, it's still yayin.
I still have a yayin flavor.
Now
but
I
in order
five,
to bracha, I don't say wine flavored water. I have to say bracha on wine.
Right. If I have 5 parts wine, 4 parts water, 1 part wine, it's a wine flavored beverage, which is the shakol.
Right. If I have, but it's usser because I'm still getting benefits from the Yainesef.
6 parts water and 1 part Yainesef. It's not a normal enjoyment.
Yeah, I'm not really getting the wine flavor.
It's like notes in town with gum. It's like, I don't know.
Right, I'm discerning it, but it's not within the spectrum of normal enjoyments of the wine flavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Al just concludes with the mazon. Why I think the Rambam would disagree with that.
Tell me why would he not agree with that other shita?
Because this is, I think, an example of what we're talking about a couple days ago, where cases, you got to watch them very carefully.
Mendel, do you hop that question?
Which question?
In other words, the normative psak, let's say the Mishnah Berurah psak, is that if I would go to a glass of grape juice, water of orange juice, I make borei named Zonos, I'm Yosef. I don't have to make another bracha. Why? Because I said a true statement. Creator of varieties of sustaining foods. This is a sustaining food. That's it. It's because the Gemara says if you make a netter against sustaining foods, you're allowed to have water and salt. So that means that everything else, but other than that, is a sustaining food that provides nutrition, a nutritional food. So Rabbi Sachs is going to argue why the Rambam would agree with that psak.
And I'm also suggesting that it's an example of what I was talking about maybe last week, where one can have to be very, very careful in moving between frameworks. Now it's true. I remember from the discussion of the Talmud on these topics that in the discussion of oil or wine, I forget which one it was. There was a long discussion about either oil or wine, and it went, and this is where this came up, that
there was a long discussion about both.
I know, but I forget which one they brought up, this Gemara that you're talking about. That anyone who says makes himself a netter to not have right. So there was a whole thing of zaini and mazon.
Zaini versus mazon, exactly. Going through trying to distill what are the features, what is exactly the features.
Right, just because something has the characteristic of being satisfying doesn't recognize as a staple of diet. That's two different things.
Exactly.
But the thing with Nedarim is, and that's a reality, but not necessarily would the term mazon, just because mazon in Nedarim goes by people's intent and language. But just because people would call something a mazon doesn't mean that in terms of the category of the bracha, that would be the category that the bracha.
Yeah, but the Gemara itself brought that category. The Gemara itself made the comparison. It's not stum. The Gemara itself made the comparison about, even though that Nedarim go by what people conventionally describe things as, that had a play, the fact that was involved in the conversation with Brachos, which shows that the conventional attitudes of a person is a determinant of the phenomenon.
It is. But I want to give a proof that it couldn't possibly be the one that Bari Menemizonos means.
Okay. Go ahead. Give me a proof.
Because maybe I shouldn't say it couldn't possibly, but it seems extremely strange. In other words, if the sense of Muslim that I was talking about meant anything that has any caloric value, and therefore excludes water and salt only, then where's the addition of praise to Hashem of saying that on Chamishas Haminim that aren't bread? What's the big praise of that? I've hardly specified it at all. If I've even specified it in any sort of way.
Right, because if you could accept it on the low end, you fundamentally dilute the precision.
That's right. So where's
the excellence of Muslim is specifically.
So it seems that the Muzon.
I'm
that,
going back that, just like the way the Ram talks about it in the Gimel, Parak Gimel.
That's right.
Gimel.
It's a form of a motzi. It's not a generic for all things.
Right.
So
part of specifically it's the specialness of
the Heiminim. It's identifying something special about the Heiminim. If it was
a certain state of thickness or, you know, basically staple.
Yeah, it's identifying things which have characteristics of Heiminim. You've totally removed that. It's something which they shared by all foods. So why would you say that about Heiminim? You're not saying anything. Might as well say a Shako.
Okay, that's good. I like that. That's good.
So it seems it's talking about Muzon, not in the same sense as that Neder, but Muzon in the sense of what is treated truly, you know, most properly, Muzon most properly speaking, namely, that which has Heiminim.
Right. You have a Steinfeld by it. Let's see what he says. Let's see what he says right there.
Do you think he's going to comment on that?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. We just review with Mendel while I'm getting it to make sure he caps what we're talking about.
Mendel, did you hear Rabbi Sachs's rebuffing of that position?
No.
The basic point is that when you say the bracha borei minim zonos, plus the creator of the variety of mazon. So mazon, as we were introduced to it by Parak Gimel, was mazon is not just any sustaining nutritious food. It's specifically food that is made out of the five grains and has got into a certain level of stapleness. You know what I'm saying? It's a dough. It's a baked good. It's a cook dish with the five grains. So it has a certain specification. So the fact that by Nedarim, you could say anything which is of a mazon is also made. I am referring to then. That's a different system sense. Or darm goes by how people speak. Oh, that's a nutritional food. Oh, it's a nutritional food. You would say that an apple is a nutritional food. But even though the Gemara considers that, he would argue the Rambam does not give any evidence to say. That because to say that is to dilute the specificity of the Boreim Nizonos Bracha, which is basically food that approximate or similar to or sustaining like bread. You know what I'm saying? And if you say that it applied to anything, well then you just killed the specificity of the Bracha. So unless the Rambam says explicitly that would be the case, you shouldn't assume that. That was his rebuffing of my point, and I hear that point.
He doesn't bring it down, interestingly enough. He doesn't bring it down. So I would find that extremely difficult to believe.
And he doesn't bring it on, either on the side or on the bottom?
Yeah, no. I find it extremely difficult to believe that the Rambam would agree to that. You know, the way he's presenting Boreim Minim Zonos.
Because when the Rambam says that the shaka covers even the bread and the wine, that's the catch-all bracha.
Right.
He would have to say it.
He would say it, especially the way he presented Mazonos before. I mean, you know, its essence seems to be identifying a very specific subset of things. Not all
things which are staple like which are similar
they, to which are Muslim,
of bread.
Not they could be called that, you know. Which are in menu, which in a unique culinary framework are viewed as mazon, not which in general could be conceived as such.
Not how people call nutritious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or satisfying.
Right.
Or yummy.
Right. Right. And you see that, I mean, just to conclude, you see that in foods that often happens. Lechem, for example, biblically, the term...
We had a whole difference between bas versus lechem.
Yeah, lechem, in biblical Hebrew, means any sort of food, really. If you look at but it also
they went to the land to go find Lechem.
What?
No, like when they went, like Bnei Israel went down, Yaakov and someone to go find Lechem.
Well, that you could say was really bread, because in
but it doesn't mean only bread. It means
right. And Hashem is brings down Lechem and Hashemayim. That most certainly was not bread. Whatever, there's many, many proofs for that. But most properly speaking, the food, that's bread, you know? So it has that sense as well. So Muslim may be the same. It has a sense of nutritious things, or it could be the nutritious thing, which has the five species of grain, you know? Would make sense. Certainly seems to be the way Rambam is treating it. And, I would find it very difficult to believe that he would intend that without explicit proof that he does. I would think it's, all things being equal, everything he's saying indicates the contrary.
Well, I accept your rebuffing.
Okay, gentlemen, I will wish you adieu. I'm skeptical about 7 o'clock, but we'll see.
I won't know till very short order, but you can send a text, whatever. The non-scheduled schedule is like a little chaotic. So,
okay. How about you, Mendel? Are you available for 7?
Probably.
Okay, so let's see what happens.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.